God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. All the time, God is good. That was a ministry privilege to ask for another song. I needed it this morning. And I love to hear the Hill family sing that song, and I missed it. And I see a lot of them in the audience. So that y'all pray for Brother Brooks as well. We're grateful to have each of you in the audience, especially if not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests, and we're thankful to have you with us. We believe that the Bible is absolutely 100% right. And in order to get to heaven, one must do exactly what it has said do. In order to get to heaven, Jesus has warned, there will be a straight and narrow way, and few would find that way. And we believe that the Bible has made it real clear that one must be born of the water and of the Spirit upon believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on a cross in Jerusalem. Amen. On a hill called Calvary. And we've never seen that hill, nor did we see that Jesus. But we believe he hung there for 6 hours with nails in his hands and in his feet. And we believe because of this book that God sent him for the purpose of saving us. We believe that he shed his blood, and that blood will wash your sins away in baptism. And we believe that that blood would purchase his bride, his wife, his church. And she wears his name, and it's the Church of Christ. We don't take that back, nor do we apologize, nor will we move from these simple truths that the world must need, must hear in order to be saved. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously in this just world. Amen. Looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that, y'all. And that's why we sing. We don't play our instruments of music, because Christians in the Bible didn't worship like that. Amen. We just following what they did. They sing. They took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They didn't take it on no first Sunday. They didn't call their preachers reverend or doctors. They didn't do none of that stuff. They just simply called themselves Christians. And they had a simple worship. And they was controlled in worship. They managed their behavior. Amen. As if they was in presence of God the judge. Amen. And that's what you're experiencing this morning. Simple New Testament pattern of worship. Amen. And this is one congregation that will never, never, as long as Brother Brooks is the lead, change the pattern for which I grew up knowing in 30-some years in the Churches of Christ. Amen. This is where people can come and come back to the old way. If they want to see the old way, you can visit the Holland Heights Church of Christ. Because we're going to do it just like that. Amen. Now, when they bury me beneath the sod, y'all can do what you want to do. Before I'm a preacher here, we're going to stay just like this. We ain't going to be bass miking. We ain't going to be beatboxing. We ain't going to do none of that stuff. We ain't going to be clapping and jumping and flopping. We're going to stay controlled, and we're going to worship and respect God, and we're going to respect this holy word. We ain't going to add to it, nor will we take from it. Amen. If I do, your responsibility is to make sure I get back in line with God. For my soul is in this state. Is that good? For a few minutes this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I want to be. Pray we get through this message. Hopefully it'll bless your life. I think it'll bless all of our lives. In this setting here, Paul has been falsely accused by false apostles in the church in Corinth. And he said, I am more than them. Paul had a revelation of three heavens. We won't get into that. But in verse number 5, you can read the whole text to get all of that. But he's coming back and saying, look here, of such a one
will I glory. Yet of myself
I have more than those false apostles that I could boast about. But I'm not going to glory in that one. But I'm a glory in my weaknesses, in my infirmities. And this is a very important part of this study this morning. Paul said, I'm not glorying about the good. I'm not glorying about what God done for us, revealing to me the scripture and being an apostle out of due season. Paul said, but though I would desire to glory,
I shall not
be a fool. I can talk about who I am versus those false prophets, but I shall not be a fool. For I will say
the truth.
Paul said, I will say the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. And that's what we have to understand in life. We have to face truths. That life will send trauma, pain, and sorrow. Life will send us into the valleys of the shadows of death. In the valley, when our lowest point, God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But even though God will be there, we're at our best when we're in the valleys and the shadows of death. We are in our weakest moments when God is working at his best. When we're at our weakest. Paul says,
but now I forbear.
I can't be a fool and live as if this truth is not going to be told. Don't get so big that you can't see the truth about yourself. The truth, my friends, got to be told. And the one that can speak the truth about you is only you and God. Amen. Can know the truth. For now, Paul said, I forbear.
Lest any man should think of me above.
Let anybody think me above. Me dealing with what I'm about to tell you about. I don't want people seeing me as if I'm big enough to deal with what I can't deal with.
Or that he heard of me.
But he says that. That which he said to be, which means because you see someone, does not mean that's the truth you see. What you see outwardly is not necessarily the true inwardly that God is dealing with, the true on the inside. He that heareth of me. So sometimes when you are in your weaknesses, someone can say, you know, you look like you're doing good. You look okay to me. Look like you're managing it well. But Paul says, looks are deceiving. That's not always the truth. When you look at someone, I'm trying to come home to us today. And lest I should, Paul.
Be exalted above measure.
Paul said, God got to take us somewhere where others can't measure.
Through the abundance of
you
the revelations.
You on an outward appearance. He going to take you somewhere where God, people can't see you like God see you. He take us somewhere where people can't feel your infirmities or your inward weaknesses, like God know what they are. Unless I reveal the truth about who I am, then you will, church or Corinth, you will take me beyond where you need to know I'm at. But the base is above measure through the abundance of revelation. So he looked like he was scripturally strong, and he had revealed scripture to him. And I'm going to say something that some of you who are immature may not understand. But, you know, just because you know scripture
does not mean you're okay with God. Amen, somebody. Just because you know the Lord give it and the Lord take it away, don't take the pain away. I know that. You know that. You know scripture. You know trust God. You know to love God. Don't give up on God. You know that. Paul knew the truth about what that God has said in Revelation, which is scripture. What I'm saying to us. And just because you know scripture, just because you know Bible, does not mean God is not going to work on your flesh. Just because, let me say to the mature Christians, don't be so high-minded that you don't remember to take heed. He that thinketh, you stand. Take heed. Because God can bring you from up there back down here. Where God will say, you know in whom I am. And sometimes God has to remind us, and he uses the flesh. You say, where are you going with this, Brother Brooks? I'm just trying to give you the background on Paul saying, yeah, they're talking about me. They saying these things about me. And you, church, you thinking I'm all good. I'm doing good. I'm an apostle. Yes, I'm an apostle. Yes, I know scripture. Yes, God has revealed it. But God, there's something you don't know about me when you look at me. There's something you don't know about me when you hear me speak. I'll say the highlight. It's something you don't know about me when you look at me. It's something you can't know about me when you hear me speak. It's just some things you can't know. Paul says,
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
I want y'all to know the truth. He's talking to a Corinthian Christians. He says, the word given. You remember that. Because God gonna give you something. The word given means he didn't ask for it. Let me set you up for knowing you better have God in your life. You better have the Lord in your life because there's a giving coming. It's something coming. Paul said that was given to me, highlights. And every one of us can say it. There was given, what did he say?
To me.
To who?
To me.
Not to everybody. What God had, what he had was given to him. Paul said, I'm coming clean with this church. What God that was given to me, a thorn. A painful thorn. I look good. Corinth, but what you don't know is what I know. What you don't know is what I feel. What you don't know is my pain that was given to me. I didn't ask God for this pain. He gave me pain, a thorn. He didn't give me pain in my spiritual life. I still know God. He still believed in God. He still had all scripture given him by revelation. This is a man who knew, who was guided by the Holy Spirit, said, I know that stuff. I know what God has said in his word, and I believe it. That's not what I want y'all to know the truth about. And what I want y'all to know the truth about, that in my flesh, my human being, Paul said, I'm a human being. My flesh. God gave me a thorn in the flesh. He says, the thorn was in the flesh. Scholars say that the thorn was a physical handicap. The thorn was this. The thorn was this. People trying to figure out what the thorn was. But it's right there in the text. What God wanted us to know about Paul was that, Tommy Brooks, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, I had an apostle who I gave a thorn to. It was in his flesh. And it was the messenger
of Satan.
The messenger of Satan.
To buffet me.
The thorn was the messenger of Satan for a purpose. The messenger of Satan was to buffet. And to buffet in the Greek means to wrap with the fist. The pain was as if God allowed Satan to in your stomach. And he intended for it to feel it in the flesh. He intended for it to make you cry. He intended to make you bow. It intended to make the pain was to be of such that you knew you had got wrapped, and you got wrapped, or you got hit, or you got given his flesh, you got buffeted, and it's painful, it's tormenting, it harasses you. And some verses say the messenger of Satan will harass. The messenger of Satan was given to Paul to painfully afflict his flesh. Paul says,
lest I should be exalted above measure.
If I hadn't got wrapped in the stomach, if I had not got this punch, if I had not been, you said, here's the thing about boxing, and some of you, about, I know Brother Kirby and them boxing trainer, but they were talking about the most insensitive, easy part of the places in here that are not very well protected. You can hit a man right in the middle of the chest, and he'll go down quick, they say. That's what they say, you know, if the weak areas. So if you see people like Mike Tyson, and the way he takes somebody out, you know, he can be short, but because he throw his whole body into it, right, trainer? Ain't you a trainer? If he just punched like this, he ain't putting all into it, from what I was told, if you watch him. But when you watch a guy like Mike Tyson come up on a guy, you're like this, and then all of a sudden, when he come, and Mike do that, and then all of a sudden, all his feet and everything is off the ground, and when he hit him, all his body. Now, he ain't just hitting him with his arm. He's saying everything from here up is pushing that blow, and when he pushed that blow, it was so powerful, you see what them guys go, they drop down, huh? That's called buffeted. When Satan buffet, we go down. We go down. And so Paul is saying to us, the truth is that this thing that God gave me is filled with pain, is painful, is something he had to deal with every day in the flesh. And Paul called it this. He said, it's the messenger of Satan. He didn't say his eye was out. He didn't say it was a speech. He didn't say all the things to people who were so smart trying to say what it was. He just simply said it was a painful thing given to me, and Satan was allowed to do it. Y'all remember Job, don't you? In the case of Job, chapter 2, Job, the story is that Job was a perfect and upright man. One who feared God and skewed evil. I mean, he skewed me in kind of like playing dodgeball. You know, when he throw the evil at him, Job was doing that. He was skewing like some of us catch it. Some of us catch it, you know. Satan throw a little drink at us, we catch it. And so you know, from somebody Satan throw missing worship to you, you catch it. I mean, you follow what I'm saying, y'all? You know, some of us just catch everything he throw at us. But Job wasn't him kind of skewed. He made sure he stayed out of evil and his evil thing. And so now here's the thing about it. He said, Job, there was a conversation. The angels or the devil approached God. And God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? In other words, he was saying, I want you to buffet Job for me. But then Job said, the devil said, no. Not him. Why not him? Because he's sealed. He's hedged. He's protected by you. So when Paul said it was given to me, he knew God could have not let it happen. See, when things going bad in our life, God could stop it. God could stop it. God don't have to allow us to go through some of the things we go through in life. But that he said he was hedged and he was protected. But listen to the Bible. It says, and what happened?
And Satan answered the Lord and said.
And Satan said to the Lord.
Skin for skin.
Skin for skin.
Yay.
Yay.
All that a man had will be given for his life.
Let me buffet him in his flesh. Skin for skin. So he's saying, if I can get him in the flesh, I'll get him spiritually. Listen to the Bible.
Well, put forth thine hand now.
He said, God, he tells God, you put your hand forth.
And touch his bone and his flesh.
Yeah.
And he will curse thee to thy face.
If you just let me buffet him in the flesh, if you just let me give him a thorn in the flesh, let me deal with the fleshly side of the man. Because when God deal with the fleshly side of the man, he'll identify the spiritual side of the man. So if you can't survive the fleshly side, then you're not going to be okay spiritually. You know what I'm saying? So Satan know if I can get to his body, I'll get it. I'll get him to crush it to your face. That what he said?
Yes, sir.
That's so. What he Satan is saying? God, Job. Y'all know the story. Job, he lost all his children. He lost his all 10 children. His wife, he called her. She said she's speaking at food. He didn't call her food, but I don't know what woman could have lost 10 children and not have been almost out of her mind. Mm-hmm. On the same day. It's bad enough to lose one child at one time, but to lose 10 in one day. I don't know how many women would have been talking with good sense. But you know when you got a good spiritual man, he said, baby, you just talking like that. Huh? You're talking like a foolish man. He didn't call his wife a fool. I heard some preachers say that. His wife was a fool. No, he didn't call her no fool. I'll be careful about that. Sometimes pain can be so hard that you just say stuff. I said, man, I can't believe I said that. You just say something. The pain was so hard. Then Paul was like that. And then he was buffeted like that. But Paul and Job both had something in common. They were both as righteous men. Both of them men knew Bible. They knew God. And it wasn't that they didn't know God, y'all. That's what we got to remember in Christians. We're going to go through things not because we've done something wrong. It's not necessary. God is not allowing Satan to buffet us because we were in error, because there was some sin consequence, or that God is getting us back for something we done wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah, he's chasing us sometimes. But sometimes God just give us that punch. He allows Satan to give us the puff. He give us this thorn that I got to live with. I got to deal with it. In Job 23, and verse, God is in one mind. And listen, Job 23 and verse 11, listen to this. And then I'm going to give you the things I think that we all got to be considered about thorns. And what you need to leave with this morning is tell the truth about yourself. Don't be so holier than thou. It's worth, you can be overly righteous. You don't need to walk in here like you got it. You so spiritual that you ain't going to fall, that you ain't going to have no mistakes. The worst thing we need around us is people who are overly righteous, overly spiritual, where you ain't got it. You don't understand that God can take you down and y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? You know how it is. Don't be so halo-ish. You're going to be so haloish that you can't understand that other people are going through things. People are going through things. And notice what he says here in Job 23:11. Job got sores from the top of his flesh. His throat without sores all over his body. Listen to him now.
My foot had held his steps.
Yeah.
His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back.
Now, is that true? Yes, that's true. Because Job said, God said it about him. God said, Job was a perfect what? Upright man who had feared God and feared. Job said, I haven't done nothing against God. Job didn't know nothing about this conversation between Satan and God. He had no clue. But Job did know something about himself. Job said, I have done what? I have verse 11. I have what? Read with me. Come on. I need you.
My foot had held it still.
My foot.
His way have I kept.
You're trying to walk right. You got to know I'm walking right. You got to know when you walk, when you step to the right, you got to know how to get back in what's right. You got to, when you sin, you got to get right. When you sin, you got to get back and do right. If you fall, you got to get back over here and do right. That's what being right means. It don't mean you ain't going to fall. But when you fall, God is saying, do what I told you to do to get right. Get baptized. Make your confession. That's what being righteous is. Being righteous is not that you're not going to ever make a mistake. Being righteous is, you got to, when you step to the right, step to the left, you got to step back to what? You step to the left, that's sin. Get back into the right. When you leave the church, you got to get back into the right. Say right with me. When you leave the church, you got to get back right. When you sin, you got to do right. When you fall, you got to do right. When you sin, you got to do right. That's what make you righteous. Not a halo. Throw it away. You ain't no angel. Throw away your halo. You better learn how to go from the left back to the... You said, brother, but what are you doing, preacher? What you think I'm doing? Preaching real stuff. Nothing wrong with being a hypocrite, but just don't be a hypocrite in the building. Hypocrites are out there talking about being a Christian. Oh, those of us in here ain't talking about, we in here trying to figure out how to get it better. Don't even let nobody stop you coming to the church building because you got some issues in your life. That's the worst mistake you can make. The hypocrites ain't at this church building. The hypocrites at home say, well, you know, I love the Lord and he's in my life. I ain't got to go worship. Now you're a hypocrite, what you are. Hypocrites don't worship. Hypocrites don't come to hear the message. They don't come to find out what to do next. Hypocrites stay out there and talk about being a Christian. Stop talking about being a Christian and come in here and learn how to be a Christian. Amen. Go from the left to the right. Job said, I held his steps.
His way have I kept.
Whatever God said, a man is not in himself to direct his own what? Step. You got to step. Forward, according to the way God told you to step forward. That's what we do. Amen, somebody. That's what Christians do. We walk in the light. We step where we can see. When it's in darkness, you're in the left. You can't see in the left. You got to get back into the right in order to see the light. Get back in. That was good, wasn't it? You got to step back into the right to see the. And when you're in the light, you can always do. Yeah. I should have been a, what they call them guys that can rhyme real good. I'm feeling a little better now. I was a little down when I first got up here. Y'all got to work with Brother Brooke, please. You know, when you know you did right, you feel good about doing right. That's the good thing about being. Y'all, the good thing about in our lives, your goods ought to outweigh your bads. You ought to be able to say, I did good. Can you say you did good? You say, well, brother, I had a lot of wrongs. I didn't ask you how many wrongs you had. What I asked you about, can you see you're good? Huh? If you can see you're good, then you can make it. Yeah. He said, I kept the step. I did what God said. I was good. I did what God told me to do. Read.
His way have I kept and not declined.
Well, God say, do it. God say, be baptized. I got baptized. God say, confess before men. I believe the Son of God. I did that. God say, worship every Sunday. I did that. He take communion every Sunday. I did that. I kept his step. I walked in his path. Read.
Neither have I gone back from the commandment of
his
lips.
I never left the Church of Christ. I never stopped communing. I never stopped confessing. I'm talking to Church of Christ members. If you're a visitor and you're not a member, you say, I never got baptized. No, you didn't. Because you never did walk in the light. You stayed in the dark. You should have got into the light. That's why you should have got baptized. Amen. Well, you said, why get baptized? Because God said it. And when you got the buffet coming, and he's going to punch you, and you're going to wish you'd have said it. Listen to him now.
I have esteemed the words of his mouth.
I did what God told me to do.
More
read.
Than my necessary food.
Read.
But he is in one mind.
Now here it is. Whatever God decides to give us is going to be his decision alone. It was God's decision alone to give Paul the thorn that he had to live with. It was God's decision. No one influenced it. Satan can't influence God. No one can. He's in one mind. I can get in your mind this morning. I'm getting into some of y'all mind this morning. And I'm going to get in a little deeper here in a minute. But nobody can go and influence God. You can't influence God's mind. We can't influence him to change his mind. We can't influence him to repent. Who is God? He's not a man that he should repent. But you can be influenced. But God is in one mind. Listen to the Bible. And he said what?
And who can turn him?
Who going to change it? And who going to change the thorn you got? Who going to take it away? I'm going to the doctor. The doctor can't do that. The doctor can't take the thorn if God don't want it to go. You say, well, I'm going to go get my loved one out of the grave. You can't go get them out of the grave. That's God's decision. They in the grave because God said they was going to the grave. That was God's decision. You can't change it. Listen to him now. He said, "What?
And what his soul desired,
whatever
that he
God want to do, he going to do." Listen to him.
For he performed the things that is appointed
now that
for me.
Performance means he put in action what Paul is saying. He told the church, "I'm going to come clean. What y'all see in me ain't who I am. What y'all see in me ain't what I'm dealing with. What you see is an apostle. What you see is someone who know the scripture. But you don't know what I got to deal with inside. I don't know what you walked in with this morning. I don't know. I don't know what you walked in with. But I know who know. I know whose decision it was. You saying, Brother Brooks, are you telling me that God made this decision for me to be in the situation I'm in? Yes? Yeah. You said, what kind of God is that? Turn on your recorder. Let me say it again. Yes. He said, God, yes. You think Satan can do to us what God don't want him to do to us? Don't bring God down here with us. Ain't nobody, no dusty-eyed man can change God's mind. Ain't no devil, ain't no angel big enough to change God's decision. When God make a decision, it's his all by himself. And when he put it into action, you better be a Christian. Amen. Listen to what he said. You better be a Christian when God moves. Listen to what he says now.
And many such things are with him.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. He can do a list of things to us. Listen.
Therefore am I troubled at his presence.
Now when I think about God, I got this little thing going on with me. You know how people say, and it's just a saying, when you think you got it bad, look around. What do you say? You think you sit up there complaining about you. And I had one lady came in my office in Arkansas. She came in, she was in tears and broke all down. So, Brooke, my son is this, and this is going on with my daughter, and this is going on with my husband, this is going on. And she went on for about I just sat there and listened. At the end of my account, I said, I got one question. If all this is happening to everybody else, what's wrong with you? Your problem is everybody else and not you. You made everybody else's problem yours. You know a woman, she said,
I see it, Brother Bruce. I said, well, this counseling session is over. Because you ain't got no problem. She called me, wrote me a letter back, said, you know what, a burden was lifted off my shoulder at the end of the counseling session because I ain't got no trouble. Why? She was trying to take everybody else's problems and make them hers. And so do we. Sometimes much of our problem is not ours. It's our children or something else or something. Yeah. Then he says what?
When I consider, I am afraid of him.
Yeah, God can do so much. Job said, when I consider what God could have done to me. Now, he's got, now you think about what Job. This is a man saying, I got sores all over my body. All my children are dead. I lost all my livestock, all my possessions. He's bankrupt. He's bankrupt. He's physically in pain. He's mentally in pain. And then he makes this statement. Man, look at me. But God could have done more than this. Somebody told me just this morning. You know, I share it with y'all. I'll share it with you. So, sometimes I have to have some medicine to sleep now because I lost my wife, okay? Told y'all I was going through grief counseling. So you got to get some help, right? Don't be so big you don't go get help. My cardiologist sat down. He said, talk to me. He said, Tommy. And he looked at me. He said, can I be personal? Yeah, okay. Anyway, I went and did a heart stress thing. I don't have palpitation because, you know, stress and you ain't sleeping right and all this stuff goes along with losing somebody. They call it grief, you know. I thought I was going into mild depression because I've been canceling so long I need to see the signs, you know. But in this case, the lady told me that it was, you know, grief and depression looks just the same, kind of the same. You know, so it's hard to diagnose one. In my case, it's easy to diagnose because it's grief. So it's not depression. But he was saying, you know, don't be afraid to get some help. You need to rest. Your heart is not good for your heart, Mr. Brooks. I said, man, I don't want to be taking on men and all that. He said, listen. Now, you know, I appreciate a doctor like this. He took me out of the exam room and took me to his office. Now, I believe this is a providence of God, though. He said, now, look here, Mr. Brooks. This is a natural occurrence in families. They lose somebody you love. No love, no sorrow. Right? We get that? And he said, look here, I want you to rest. You need some rest until we get you through this period. I said, okay. I want you to take this amount. He said, Tommy, sometimes you got to have help. Y'all follow what he said? See, I ain't trying to be like this for 10 years from now. I'm trying to get help now. Now, you know, if I was your minister and me and my wife was at the verge of divorce, you'd be telling me, go get you some counseling. Get some help, wouldn't you? All right? Now, you don't have to tell me. I'm saying get help. And I'm saying to you, get help. So you say, what is that all I got to do with what I'm saying? Well, I got help and I took a pill. And that thing made me oversleep. Now y'all gonna laugh about that. It worked, didn't it? I don't like that stuff, but it worked, and I went to sleep. Well, here's what happened. I was tossing and turning, you know, it's nothing. And late nights are my worst time. So, and by the way, I'm having a loss of wife spouse seminar next week. For those of you who lost a spouse and you've never dealt with it, you really think you okay? You don't put your head in the sand like you are right. You need to come to the seminar and deal with your demon. Amen. Right, but long story short, I overslept. But what hurt me was I would have had a wife would have said, Tommy, get up. That's what hurt me. Not that I overslept. That I got buffeted. In my flesh, because she would have brought me a cold towel
And she did this for me. When I was over sleeping and get it to me, when I didn't want to get up like you, David. And she would give me that cold towel and make me wash my face and say, get up, you got to go study. I didn't get up. I didn't study. I cried all the way here. And you say, why are you trying to get sympathy? No, I'm trying to say, y'all, what am I doing this morning? Saying, God, man, can buffet you. He can give you a pain in the flesh that you got to now deal with. Because it done happened. You got to deal with that. And Job said, look at what did Job say? He said,
when I consider, I am afraid of him.
God could have done worse. What my friend was saying is that, Tommy, look here. You woke up. You crying because somebody, because you overslept. But you woke up. You got up. Somebody didn't get up, Tommy. Somebody can't go to worship. Somebody don't. Amen, somebody. Somebody ain't got a bed to leave to the bed. Somebody in the hospital. Somebody feeding them. Somebody wiping them, cleaning them. And you are crying because you can't. Amen. Y'all with me, ain't you? Y'all going to be all right with me this morning. I'm just trying to help us, y'all. Because sometimes you can be so buffeted, so hit so hard that you can't see good. Then he said, that's why you got to have, let me say this to you, you got to have people in your life who can let you be who you are when you're not normal. When you're not normal, that's when you know your friends. They can come. They'll be there. They won't shut you out. I don't never want to be that kind of a person that will shut someone out when they know you're not all right. And that's the kind of church we ought to be. When people are going through things, we ought to be the kind of church that will love them, that will be there, and even though they may look all right, we will never leave them or abandon them when you know they ain't who they were. You know they ain't okay. You know that you don't know what those folk are going through. People, when people come into this congregation, we ought to have reviews on our website that I went in there down, but because of the love, because they cared about me, because I was somebody, I left uplifted. Then the Bible said,
for God maketh my heart soft.
Now here's the whole purpose of the thorn. The whole purpose of the thorn is to humble you. See, God, Job said, I did what he told me to do. I kept his word, Dave. But God hit me so hard that it softened my knees. You know, you get hit so hard that you just wobble down like that, you soft. You ever seen somebody get hit to the point it just, they wobble? You know, Muhammad Ali used to hit a joke, he'd be. Down he go, boy. He said, man, eyes rolling back. I said, I don't know why nobody want to be a boxer. Then they put the camera all over me. One, two, three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. He dead. What happened? When you get hit, what goes limp? Everything, you know, when you're a real built boxer, built, everything's built tough, right? Like mine. Somebody ought to say, man. Y'all ain't my little muscle. Look, kind of look big, don't they? But anyway, you can be like Walker. Yeah, Walker, he one of them kind of got them big old. Not me and Nate, but Mark Walker. And but boy, you can get a strong man, muscle strong. If he get hit just right, everything limps. Don't he? What God is saying to me and you, Bo, as preachers, like apostles, don't have so many muscles. Don't get so strong that God make you soft. Now, why am I talking to him? Because that's what Apostle Paul was saying about the other apostles. That ain't that bad. Because God done did this to me. Listen to the Bible.
And the Almighty troubled me.
Now, so he was troubled. So when you're going through things, you're going to be troubled. Let me give y'all some pains in the flesh. I just go down the list. But remember this. It don't mean you done something wrong. It doesn't mean you have outside of God's will. But here's some painful experiences in the flesh for us as I close. You may have a disease or a health situation that's uncurable. You didn't ask for it. It was given to you. The doctors are there, but it don't seem to help. Because the doctor can't undo diabetes. They can't undo it. But that's your thorn now. Take the insulin. But live with the fact that you're a diabetic. That's flesh. You know you got the disease. You got to deal with the fact that you got the disease. That's your thorn. You may not ever get cured. But you're humble. You soft. You at worship. You praying. You asking God. You taking communion. You soft. But your health still is the same. It might be your finances. Don't believe you're going to ever catch up. But you're here this morning. You're humble now. It may be your marriage. Always fighting, tolerating a spouse that you knew, you wish now you hadn't married him. If you knew now what you knew then what you know now, you wouldn't marry him. But now you got to stay in there because you stand right with God and you know you can't divorce. You know you got to live with the thorn in the flesh. It could be your children, just one out of five. Just the one child is your thorn, the one that's always in trouble, the one that always come home, the one that's always you worried about, the one you toss at night about. It's that one child that God has given. A person, it could be a person, one person in your life, always been in your life, a poker. They poke. It could be your brother, your sister. It could be one person who pokes like a thorn. They have been your thorn your whole life. It could be your drug habit. It keep poking. You keep smoking. You keep going to the crack house. You have a thorn. You have a thorn. You got a thorn. You got a drug habit, addiction. You can't see how you're going to stop. You steal. You a thief. You got a sin. That you is addiction. You are a rapist. You are on pornography. Nobody know. But it's your thorn. You are a whoremonger. You got more than your wife. You got two or three women. And you know you don't need to do it. But you hear. It's your thorn. You got a decision of your past. It has haunted you. All your life, it has haunted you. You got a felony. Every time you get a job, it's on your record. Every time you go for an interview, it is a thorn. You got to deal with it. A sin you can't forgive yourself for. I wish I had not aborted my baby. That was my baby. That was could have been my little girl. I did it. I did that. Your thorn in the flesh. That's not spiritual. God forgave it. But it's your memory. It's your conscience. It's your thorn now. It's your thorn in the flesh. And it's going to keep you coming to worship. It's going to keep you forgiving other people. It's going to stop you from looking down on other people who make the same mistake. It's your thorn. A sin you just can't seem to kick. You're afraid you're going to die in it. You know I got to stop this some point. And you keep asking God, give me time. I need some grace. You doing it over and over and over every week. You know you're wrong. You know it. It's your thorn. It's your thorn. A painful experience that seems to never heal. It's just a big old sore. And every time somebody mention it, every time somebody touch it, they pull the scab off. And there you go bleeding again. It's your thorn. It's your thorn. But you're still coming to worship. You got a significant emotional event. Something you didn't know was coming. Something that's so pain, we call it travail. The death of your child. The death of your loved one. You got the news. You didn't want the news. You got the news. You got to live with it. You got to deal with it. It's going to bother you. It's going to hurt. It's painful. But God did it. He gave it. He gave it to you. It's a significant emotional event. A single sister, you know you're pretty. You know you're a good girl. You know you come to worship. You know, but why everybody else getting married? Where's my man? Why me? Well, I feel unwanted. I feel like I'm not attracted. But you are. You're God's child. You keep coming to worship. You still coming. You haven't gave up on God. Yeah, it's the flesh. It's something you got to deal with. You got to deal with it. It's that woman, a single man. I'm a good man. I could be a good husband. I want to be a good husband. But that woman don't seem like a woman want me. It's, I can't find one want me. I can't find one who want to do it the way I want to do it. I got them out there, but I'm looking for the one. Where's she at, Brother Brooks? Why me? Why am I lonely? It's your thorn. It's your thorn. I said, it's your what? A child without a daddy. Every time you see him, it hurts. Why you wasn't there for me? Why you didn't raise me? Why you left me? Why you wasn't there for me when I at my games? Why I couldn't have walked down the aisle with my daddy? Why weren't you at my prom? Where was my daddy? It's your thorn. It's your thorn. Child without a mother. Everybody else got mamas. Why was my mama? Who is my mama? Where is she at? Why did she leave me? Why did she get rid of me? Why was I adopted? It's your thorn. It's your thorn. A child who knows not your mama. Or you know, and only you know it. You know it's your mama. You know that's your daddy. But they don't want everybody else to know it. It's just you and them. They don't want you to reveal it. They don't want you to tell it. And your pain is, why I got a hold? Why I want that relationship with my daddy. I want that relationship with my mama. But they don't want to be known I'm that person. They don't want me to tell nobody. A child who don't know his mama. Don't know your real mama. Don't know your real daddy. And you got a step-in mama. That's good. You got some step-in mamas and step-in fathers. Step-dads. It's a good thing to have people who love you that'll step in there. But in the back of your mind, your pain is, where's my real mama? Where is she at? That's your thorn. A parent may be your thorn. You lived in a dysfunctional home. You wouldn't have children here now. You remember all the growing up, they fuss, they fight. They were fighting. My daddy hit my mama. I remember them night. I remember the nights I heard her in there. I don't want to hear her crying no more. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hit him no more, brother. I don't want to speak about it. I don't want to go back to that place no more. I don't want to see my mom treated like that. I don't want him. I don't want him in my house. I don't want him there. I don't want to go back to that. See, I remember all that. I'm dysfunctional. It was dysfunctional. It was dysfunction. Now you're a Christian. You're a Christian young girl. You're a Christian child. You just say, you know, that's my thorn. That was my thorn. That's my thorn. Your thorn could be your own mama, your daddy. A divorced child who got a mom and daddy that are divorced. Why my mama, daddy? I go over here and I go over there. I want to be, why they can't come back together? Why they can't get it together? Why my mama is your thorn? Single mama. A divorced man and woman. You by yourself, not because you wanted to be. Because the one you love left you. And now you have to live with that. That man left you for another woman. And you were a good woman. You were a good Christian woman. That's your thorn. That's your thorn. But let me close with what Paul said. Close. I think y'all got the point, don't you? Paul said, but this thing, talking about the thorn, I besought the Lord thrice, verse 8,
that it might depart from me.
He asked God, Lord, can you take this thing away? Went to him three times. And God came back with an answer.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for
thee. And this is in red because Jesus spoke to him personally. He said, Paul,
my grace is sufficient for thee.
I'm not taking the thorn away. No. The answer is no. Why? My grace is sufficient. And my strength
is made perfect in weakness.
Paul said, once I understood it, here was his closing comment. He heard God say, Jesus said to him, no, not going to do that. Because my grace is bigger than your thorn. My grace is bigger than your issue. My grace is bigger than your pain. And you got enough to be all right in your flesh. It's just the way you're thinking about it. He said, I want you to know this, Paul. What I have for you is greater than what I gave you. My strength. My grace is sufficient. Because here's why.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Because when they see you down, Brooks, it's showing them how powerful I am. And your strength, in my strength, not yours, is made perfect in
weakness.
When you weak. When God softened us and put us in a situation where the doctors can't cure us, God is saying, that's when you give me glory. Because I got you there, and now my grace going to get you through. And it may not, grace getting you through don't mean I'm going to take away the pain. But that means you're going to give me glory as long as you got it. And then he says, now therefore.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in
now
my
he says, I told y'all the truth, so now I'm glad to say this. What are you glad to say, Paul?
I rather glory in my infirmities.
I'd rather talk about all the things that I'm hurting about than talk about how good an apostle I am. Because me telling you how much I'm hurting gives me the lowest state of mind and gives God the highest glory. And then the Bible says,
that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Now here's the power of Christ. Christ had a thorn, a crown of thorns. He wore them. He didn't remove them. He didn't take them off. He asked God three times in the garden, just like Paul asked God three times. And God never said anything to Jesus. He just sent an angel to stand with him. Because God knew there was his decision to so love the world to give his only begotten son, and it was Jesus' decision to do the will of God. And the will of God was for him to go to the cross of Calvary, to have nails drove in his hands and his feet, to hang 6 hours in pain and agony, be beaten with a whip, led up a hill called Calvary, hang up there, suffering. The visage was marred. He was beaten. He was buffeted. He was buffeted in the flesh, and God allowed it. He allowed it. And on the cross, when he was about to die, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? What had happened? God had allowed the pain in the flesh to take him to the cross. And he took him for us. He took him for us, y'all. He took the crown of thorns. He took the pain for us. And I'm saying to y'all today is that you better be understanding one thing about this message is God's grace is sufficient, but he going to give you a thorn. But will you deal with it with God or will you deal with it without God? You can choose today to deal with it with God by believing that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died and suffered on the cross. I'm preaching the cross as your hope. The cross is where your salvation is at. The cross is where the blood was shed, the cross, and where the suffering was at, the cross, it was at the cross, where I first saw the light. When you see what your Savior went through, you going through nothing compared to what he went through and what he's doing today upon his resurrection. He said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You come by believing that he's the Son of God, number one. You come by repenting of your sins. You come by making a confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that, you got to be baptized as commanded. Mark 16:15-16. Baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And you do that this morning, the Lord then will give you the Holy Spirit. And that suffering Savior is sitting on the right hand of the Father. One day he'll say, well done, a good and faithful servant. Why? Because his grace is what?
Sufficient.
So where you at? What's going on with you? I want you to know if you're here and you got something going on in your life, let us pray with you. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Come get God in your life by being baptized tonight. Today. Come right now. Come right now. If you need prayer, come. If you want to be baptized, you come. If you just want to say, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. Because I know I've been looking at this thorn as a bad thing. But this thorn is a good thing. And God is saying, I got you just where I want you now. Will you receive with meekness my grafted word? Why? It's able to save your soul. You know what the worst thing is? Not the thorn in the flesh. It's the death of the flesh. Because if you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. Who over here need to come? Who here need to come? Who here need to come? This morning we want to come. I want you to come as together we stand and sing the song. We come to the front. As